Luke 23, verse 39. I'm going to share a few thoughts with you this evening. We're focusing on the two thieves on the cross. You know, you would think that with Jesus being there in the middle of the two would be insignificant, if you will, in the scheme of things, but yet the two thieves bring to us a view of what Jesus is accomplishing and what Jesus is bringing and making available to us. But it also gives us two responses to what Jesus is doing. One thief was rejecting what was being done for him on the cross that day. The other was receiving of what Jesus was doing for him on the cross that day. And so we're going to look at those two examples. We're going to look at there's a right response, and there is the right one, which is Jesus, and then the right results. And so let's look at the text for this evening, Luke chapter 23, verse 39. He says, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Isn't that just an amazing account? We look at examples, and often we think that, well, is there a certain amount of things that have to be done, or a certain amount of religious exercise? But the thief on the cross gives us a very good, I guess you would say almost an example of a deathbed confession. Wouldn't you agree? He cut it close. He cut it really close. And some would think that, well, can it really be genuine if it's that close? I don't know about you, but I think if I was enduring or going to face what these men were about to face, it would be very genuine. Wouldn't you agree? It would be very real. And so we find all three of these men in a very desperate situation. But at this point, we've already seen, as I've mentioned this morning, Jesus has been flogged with a cat of nine tails. And it's not holding cats, but it probably felt much worse. As the brutalizing that comes in that beating, it was a long whip-like instrument that with these strands of leather, at the end of it would have bone, sometimes lead, weighted, tied on the end of these. And so every time and every blow, it wasn't just a slap as much as it was a bone-cracking, flesh-tearing. This torture was horrible. And so Jesus had already been through this, beat to the point of being unrecognizable. And yet, as he approaches the cross, his heart and his concern are for those who he's dying for. And so at this point, we come to a place that these men have been on the cross. And we're coming very close to the end here. We see that they've heard Jesus' teaching. They've heard him speaking. And I'm sure there were many difficult times that they may have just looked at each other wondering, are we all here for the right reason, for the same reason? Well, as the one man realizes, he says, "I want you to save me and save yourself. Take us with you." When the other, the repentant thief, said, "Well, don't you realize that we deserve to be here?" But he does not. Now, it's interesting that when we see the accounts in Scripture, that many skeptics would think that, well, of course, any Christian is going to say that, well, Jesus is our religious figure, so they're going to say that he was without sin. But to have a criminal that was condemned and realizes that he deserved to die, and the other guy as well, giving the testimony that he was pure, that he was without sin, without it, now it's a different testimony, isn't it? Now it carries even more weight. That is not something that we just make up. And so, as mankind, we all find ourselves in the same predicament, don't we? We all have a sin problem. But yet we realize is that blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. David reminds us of that. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven. And so Jesus come to do that, to offer forgiveness. So let's look at the right response. Well, we see that the repentant man, he realizes we deserve to be here, but he does not. And so he admits his sin, he admits his failures, and sheds all pride. And as he responds to the Lord, let's see the three things that was right in his response. First of all, he saw his need. You know, in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, or in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we see that reality, that we find the gift, is available when we find our need first. You know, do we view sin the same way that God views our sin? He saw his need and he brought his need to the Lord. Isn't it common that sometimes we find a need or feel a need and we run from the Lord? But we can never find the forgiveness and repentance until we bring it to the Lord. Secondly, he admitted that he had sinned. He admitted to the Lord. And so in the admittance or the confession of this, the thief made no excuses, did he? He made no excuses. We deserve to be here. We deserve what we are receiving. You know, that's a difficult thing to come to grips with, isn't it? Do we ever come to the Lord and say, God, why is this happening? When in reality, the question should be, why is there not more happening to me because of my shortcomings? But God's grace is always there, isn't it? But we can do so. In 1 John 1:8-9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One other I just threw in last minute was Proverbs 28:13. But he who covers his sins will not prosper, but who confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. And so this thief, he was looking for mercy, wasn't he? Now, obviously this wasn't going to deliver him from the cross. I think the cross was definite. I don't know. You know, in the scheme of things, where did the thief get the idea that save yourself and save us? Remember the Pharisees as they were mocking Jesus? Oh, he raised others from the dead, but can he save himself? Come down off the cross and prove to us that you're the Savior, you're the Son of God. There were many times that he could have come off that cross, but glory be to God that he did not. Glory be to God that he remained right where he was in spite of all the criticism. And so now even one of the thieves were railing on him to save himself, but then, oh, of course, save me too. It's interesting that we want to dictate to God how that he delivers and how that he will handle his grace. So the third was that he then confessed that only Jesus could save him. You know, in Acts 16:31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, and you and your household. You know, as Paul and Silas were in jail, they were about to be released, not by the jailer's choice, right? The Lord blew the jail wide open, and the jailer thought, everybody's gone, so I might as well kill myself. But yet, they come in and said, wait, don't harm yourself. Can you imagine how many prisoners would actually come to their jailer and say, no, don't hurt yourself? But many of them are looking to harm, to get away, to escape, and to go on and escape punishment. But yet Paul cries out, don't harm yourself. Don't harm yourself. And by this, the jailer, the Philippian jailer, had already heard the singing in the night. Remember? They beat him. They beat him and then put him in stocks. You think that'll shut him up? They decide to have a worship service in the middle of the jail. What is going on? And then when God acts, he comes in and says, men, what must I do to be saved? And so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. They got a message not just for you, but for your whole family. So the confession was made. And so the repentant thief, he had the right response. And he had the right response to the right one. You know, I don't think any of us here tonight question that Jesus is the right one. But when we see that Jesus not only removed us from our sin legally, but he also removed us from our sin one day physically, giving us that glorified body, taking us into heaven to live with him forever and ever, that he truly is the one that was sent by God, the Messiah, the one that was anointed by the Father. The significance we see that at his baptism, we see that the Father speaks, says, this is my Son who I'm well pleased. And then also at the Mount of Transfiguration. So we see that Jesus had the very stamp of God upon him, had the very character of God upon him. And so him being the right one was the one and the only one that the thief could plead to. You notice even the religious leaders weren't giving any grace or mercy that day. No, the Romans were giving grace and mercy that day. But yet he found grace on the cross right next to him. Isn't that amazing? God brings His love in some of the most unlikely places, doesn't He? Oh, talk about a message of hope. Can you imagine the story that that thief will share with all of us in eternity? He said, man, it was so close. You might even be thinking, I could feel the heat of hell on my feet. It was almost over, but yet the guy hanging right next to me, he was beat to a pulp. He could barely open his eyes. He was bleeding from every part of his body. He was exhausted. You realize Jesus had been up the whole night before, the day before, praying all night, already going through enough suffering and pain that probably would put many of us in the hospital for a volume or two. But yet this man, suffering more than I was before I was, and yet he had nothing but kind words and a sympathetic ear to listen to me. I think we can relate to that thief, don't you? I think we can relate to what he's done for us. I think that we can say today that we have picked the right one. Amen? We have chose to follow and obey the right one. And you know, what even adds to this, remember in Matthew 27, when the centurion and those that were with him, who were guarding Jesus, after they saw the earthquakes and the things that happened, they feared greatly, saying, what did they say? Truly this was the Son of God. Now these are a bunch of Roman soldiers, seasoned men. Some that we might even say that these were hard, battle-hardened men. How is it that they come to this conclusion? These soldiers have probably seen many bodies be pulled down off of the crosses and laid on that hill. In fact, many have said that there had been so many crucifixions upon that hill that the soil was much darker because of the blood that had been shed on that hill for years. Man, takes it into perspective, doesn't it? I remember reading one commentator who said that the Persians started crucifixion and the Romans perfected it. And so they were good at what they did. But yet to see a significance in the death of Jesus, while many criminals and violent men would be brought to the crosses and their cruel sayings and spitting and wanting down off that cross to get their revenge and the hatred that would come from those mouths, and yet every single thing that Jesus said was for the sake of those that were crucifying Him, His mother, praying to the Father, not to charge them. Lay not this to their charge, Lord, just hold Your wrath back for just a little while longer. We've truly picked the right one, amen? I think God the Father picked the right one, that He would be our Savior, that He was able to go to the cross and endure all that He did, and yet, out of love and mercy, finish the job. I really like that first message that I shared with you. A dirty job that no one wanted. Who's that guy, Mike Rowe? Dirty jobs. Now, I have to admit, I've done a lot of dirty jobs, but there was just a few that he had done that just kind of got the gag reflex going. It's like, I don't even know how he can stomach that. And you know, yet today, when we look at what Jesus has done, I hope our spiritual gag reflex, I don't even know if that's a real thing, but I hope that our hearts never get content of what we're observing here tonight. Amen? I hope we never just get complacent and say, yeah, I've heard that, I've been there, I've done that. May it never grow old, the love that Jesus has shown to us on that cross. So, after the right response, after the right one, we find the right results. He said, Jesus, or Lord, verse 42, He said, Lord, remember me when You come into Your kingdom. Now, you know, Jesus had been preaching and teaching about His kingdom, had been talking about that eternal place that He could go and would bring others with Him, that He would give that eternal life, living with the Father above. And the thief was desiring that. So much so that he placed his trust in Lord Jesus. I want to ask you something today. Can you think back to that day and that place that you asked Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sin? And you listed all those things that you knew just simply wouldn't go away. That you spent a moment in prayer of, maybe it was a revival or a pastor that had been speaking to you. Maybe you were just sitting alone and reading the Bible and things seemed to finally click together and make sense to you. Maybe you're like a friend of mine was driving down the road and hearing a evangelist on the radio and was so convicted by the message, just had to pull over and make things right before he could go on into work that morning. Where were you that day when the message of Christ came to your heart? Where were you at a place of difficulty and maybe even in a place of fear, much like the thief that was hanging there and realized that all that you've heard about Jesus is true? and that you finally come to Him with all of your sin, all of your mess, and all of the confusion, and all the shame, and just finally said, Lord, I know You're not worthy of me, but yet I have something I need to tell You. And then you found nothing but grace, and you found nothing but forgiveness. How was it for you that first time as you come to the Lord? Was it an exciting thing? Was there fireworks? Or was it just a quiet resolve that things have been made right? We all have different experiences, don't we? Doesn't tell us that the thief on the cross was yipping or yelling. And you know what? The Lord didn't even deliver him from the cross that day. Some might think, wow, wouldn't that have been wild if they all just kind of levitated off the cross? And yeah, that would have been exciting, but you know what? The Lord Jesus came to die on that cross, not to be spared from it. And in that death, He won more lives than we could ever win in a lifetime upon lifetime. Let's just meditate on that for a moment. Let's bow our heads together. Can you relate to the thief tonight? Can you find the resolve in seeing Him on the cross and realizing that He was there because of you and I? Oh, we might be able to look around and find other criminals that are worse off. He rebuked the other thief. Thief seemed to quiet down, but he never really made a confession to the Lord like the repentant thief did. We don't know if he was saved, but his time was very short to make that decision. We're blessed that He give us the time that we need and the family or friend or whoever it was that shared the gospel with us. But are there others out there that are in our family or maybe even in our home that haven't made that decision? God is able to use some of the most unlikely circumstances. The Lord's able to put some of the most wisest words that you never thought was possible by His Holy Spirit speaking through you to bring about an opportunity that your loved one might be saved. All they have to do is make the right response with the right one to bring the right results. So as today, might we, tonight as we observe the Lord's Supper, may we think about the resolve within our own hearts. Are we making the right responses to the right one? Have we not allowed anything to get in the way or confuse our commitment to the Lord? Maybe there's just something in our lives that we just need to bring back to the cross and let it be crucified there once and for all and leave afresh and anew to live for Him and live in Him. The thief didn't get that opportunity that day. He died with his faith. But you and I today recognize the death of Jesus to give us an opportunity once again to live out our faith. Sometimes in theory it's easier to talk about dying for Christ, but sometimes it's even harder to live for Him. We can talk about death in theory, but life faces us today. So where are you? Are you living in victory? Is there something else that we need to bring to Him? Heavenly Father, as we come before You tonight, we come with open hearts. Lord, we thank You for Your people and the salvation that You bring to us. Lord, we thank You for the example of the thief on the cross and finding someone that's at a point that it seemed as though there was no hope left, and yet he was given the opportunity to meet You. Lord, we see in so many situations that humanly what You have done is impossible. It's astounding of what You have accomplished. It is amazing of what You have done. The enduring of the cross, doing so perfectly, doing so lovingly, doing so obediently. It's absolutely incomprehensible of what You've done. And yet we are the recipients. We are the beneficiaries. We are the better for it. And we thank You for that. Lord, Your grace truly is amazing. But we want to memorialize as You have commanded us to do. We want to memorialize Your death, that You died that we might live. You suffered so that we might be healed. And Lord, we praise You for that. May each of us find that place that we need to surrender to You, those hang-ups that continue to hinder our walk with You, that we might grow deeper in love and surrender. But Lord, thank You for giving us the opportunity as being our high priest interceding for us. And when we come, we don't come to a cold, calculating individual, a distant and insensitive God, but we come to One who came and walked in the flesh just as we are, suffered and knows our weakness and understands that we're but dust. And You empathize with us. You care for us. You show compassion to us, and we thank You. There's no greater Savior. There's no greater King that we could serve, but there's no one that loves us like Jesus. Lord, we praise You. We give You honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.